Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about Botox. We're going to be talking about what it actually is, how it actually affects your face or wherever it's being inserted, but we're also going to be talking about aging and why that happens to your body in the first place and some cool groundbreaking research that's going on right now. Because we all love thinking about aging.
Because I'm trying so hard to compete with you.
Because we all grow old.
Okay.
Wow, that sounded like Taylor Swift or something.
Wait, so, really? I'm not the singer.
Because we all grow old.
Yeah. Walking down 7th Street and growing old.
Walking down 8th Street a little bit older.
Oh, was that? I feel like that turned.
No, you're right. I don't know. I panicked.
No, I'm like,
who was
mine
that?
Taylor.
Yours was Taylor.
Yours was like musical?
Maybe.
Yours was like Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay, it's in my genes. I can't.
Right? Or I don't know. It might have been Taylor trying to
do
Taylor.
No, I just was trying to plan the words and I wasn't focusing.
You have to picture yourself like white girl strutting down a like stadium tour thing.
Okay, she says. Or it's like kind of soft guitarish as well, right?
Oh, that's a hard
one. It could be like. No, I can't think. Oh my God,
that's
on the spot?
Soft
you know
guitar.
Me. You know me on the spot.
No, this is practice. This is practice. On the spot.
Okay, Taylor Swift singing about aging. Do you ever want to age?
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was good.
Age.
That was good.
I've been aging out.
No, the first one was really good. And I kind of at first was like, what? No, this is like Panici at the Disco. This is emo. But then when it finished,
is,
I was like, it actually was Taylor Swift.
She has like shouting anthems.
Yeah. Then there's also the weird like verse that's just like
walking down the street and I see it to the left and I look at the mirror
yes.
And I think the
that's like actually one of her songs you're singing. Okay, but I didn't know. Wow, I was being so complimentary of you and then I get dragged.
No.
And I get dragged.
Okay, starts by being like, oh, well, that's actually Dear Evan Hansen, not Taylor Swift.
It is a drag to be called Dear Evan Hansen. I am sorry, listeners. Dear Evan Hansen does not make sense.
Like it did for the time. There was like, okay, back to the banana analogy. There was like a window where Dear Evan Hansen was culturally relevant, I feel. And it made sense for some reason.
The songs are great.
But then we all were like, wait, this story's weird.
No, I don't think that that's a thing. I don't think it's, we all were like, I think it's like the songs are great. And
okay.
I think people really love it. And I'm just, I think that we saw it twice. There's something about seeing it twice. The second time you're watching it and you're thinking to yourself, we also brought people to the second one. So you're kind of seeing it through their eyes and you're going, what the fuck is this story?
Right. But the music is so great that
it
kind of carries the show.
You're like, it's a concert.
And the main performer, or like, I mean, not that we ever saw, what's his name, Ben Platt, do it himself, but seeing clips of him online, you're like, wow, he, like, whatever he did with his character.
The songs are so, even the not seeing Ben Platt, like, those songs and the professional singers singing them are incredible. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, like, I would say if you want to enjoy it as a concert, and then, like, with the story, like, no,
just
like,
ignore the story.
And then a fit in the glove.
Pretend
song.
It's, like, when you go see Lady Gaga and she tries to, like, make it a plot on a stadium, and you're like, everyone
you're like,
knows
no.
The plot's
yeah.
just for fun, and yeah. we're really here for the songs.
Yeah, literally, it's just, like, sing monster. Yeah, no, I know. It's just, and I'm so excited for everyone to see the movie and realize it's, like, pure white nonsense. Like, it actually doesn't make sense. And it's, like, who do I even care about? And it's not, like, nuanced in an interesting, like, French film.
I like it.
You do? Or you
I
like
do.
The songs? Sorry.
Oh, I like the songs, and sometimes the emotional stakes are there, but I agree. We'll see. Maybe.
It's like, I wrote a letter, but I didn't. Oops. I have a cast. Okay.
Okay, we're moving on.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You want to go? We both took a breath to start.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I learned about, well, I already knew about these tiny little creatures called.
Oh, I already knew.
Nobody learned more about them. So there's something called rotifers. Have you heard of them?
Ooh, rotifers, no.
If you didn't know, I actually lived in Australia for half a year taking marine biology and took some classes on invertebrate zoology, so I learned all about them.
So for all the Australian listeners who I drag constantly because I make fun of Australians, just know that one of us lived there and loved it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Greg's truly a toxic person. No, it's, I mean, you're allowed to criticize.
Oh my God, you're being like, your hyperbolic speech. I'm like, am I a toxic for me?
No, not at all. No, I was like having a moment where I was like, no, there were a lot of racist issues in Australia. I'm not saying there isn't in Canada. I'm saying it's worth calling it out, but it also there's lots of lovely people.
Yeah.
It's a great country.
We need to call out Canada too. We also suck. Yeah. We're just as bad as Australia. Exactly. So I'm not trying to be on a soapbox.
High horse. Okay. So anyway, they're basically multicellular invertebrate animals. They have complete digestive tracts with a mouth and an anus, but they're tiny. So they're microscopic. Ooh. They're really fascinating. They've existed for around 35 million years.
Wait, they're bacteria?
No, they're animals.
Oh. Oh.
They're like tiny, tiny little animals.
Whoa.
That are invertebrates.
Wow, okay.
And basically they are able, they've known that they're able to survive in hostile environments, but they don't know for how long. Basically they halt their metabolism and all activity, and it's a state known as cryptobiosis, which is like scientists describe as a state between life and death. They just turn off and then they wait until the right conditions come. So recently they discovered a sample in permafrost in the Arctic, I think, and they were 24,000 years old.
Whoa.
They thawed them and they started reproducing.
Okay, this is related to aging. This is related to Botox. This is related,
oh, true.
To,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What I mean,
you're
it's
right,
like, that's
yeah.
Everyone's like, not everyone's, but definitely
wanna,
people
like,
who
be
don't
frozen
age,
yeah,
like,
or they
the
want to be
are, like, freeze me or like, yeah, Jeff
freeze
Bezos.
Me to 10,000 years so I can like wake up and yeah. See what the world or universe
Jeffrey
is like.
Bezos Jeffrey Bezos wants to be frozen for 24,000 years,
yes,
and come back and then like rule the world or
yeah
something.
Basically the reason they're so fascinated by
that's
this,
so
I think
cool.
Previously they'd only known they could go dormant for 10 years or so, but now they're like, wow, this was a 24,000 year old specimen that came back, started reproducing. Obviously, scientists want to study them to understand how to preserve cells, tissues, and organs, because obviously
yeah.
Human organs cannot preserve for that long.
That's
so it's
really
like
cool.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. What are they called?
Rotifers.
Yeah, that's a good, like, I feel like you could write that down and then just like...
You might recognize
the
microscopic pictures. Like, if you picture just like looking through a microscope and seeing little...
It's not like the tardigrade photo that everyone
honestly
has.
It's similar-ish. They're see-through, so when you see them in a microscope you're mostly seeing just like a shape and one end that's like fatter and one end that's skinnier, but they're cool to look at, but they're mostly just these little creatures.
Yeah, like they, I feel like a rotifer, and that's such a cool story, could be the next tardigrade, the
oh
next,
true
the next,
yeah, they're
like,
not as cute though, they don't have like the huggable bear element.
Yeah,
that
yeah, that's so true. I forgot that tardigrades literally look like adorable.
They're the polar
Pixar
bears of tiny microscopic
yeah, yeah.
creatures.
Okay, true. Mine's not nearly as interesting. I just was thinking about this yesterday.
Don't sell yourself short.
Okay, I was just reading a biology textbook, which I've been trying to work my way through a biology
the
textbook.
The one that's from when we went to university.
Yeah, so sometimes I'm like, is like, this out of date? But like, probably. No, so much of the basic biology is actually right. Fascinating to know, like, this hasn't changed. But it was just like 98% of the mass of like most living organisms on Earth are hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur. So like when you look at the periodic 96% table.
96%, is that what you said?
98%.
Oh, 98, wow.
Of, yeah, and I'm just like, sometimes you look at the periodic table and you're like, there's this complex array of, you know, periodic table of elements. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, there's all these things, but then you realize like, no, it's actually just like these literal like 6 to 7
right.
That make up.
That are
it's just
primarily
like,
everything.
That's living, and it's like weird. Like life is so weird. And then I was like, okay, so like 4.6 billion years ago was the formation of the Earth. Life began 3.8 billion years ago, which I guess relied on water. So it's like the hydrogen and oxygen molecules being a big part of like every living thing is so like maybe obvious in that sense. But then I'm just like, that it's just so weird to think that life on Earth is sustained by those small amount of elements. And then all the complexity that we bring to it, like our anxieties and stuff.
It's coming all
from
just
coming
these,
from
like,
these elements.
Couple of elements.
Yeah, or like 7 elements. And because when you look at the periodic table, sometimes I'm like, life's complex. Like,
yeah.
That look at all these things. And it's right. Like, well, actually, no, those things like barely even exist
oh
in the life that we live. That's all. It just was
that's
like
fascinating.
Kind of being like, oh,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, what does it make you feel? Does it make you feel small or big, existential or present?
It makes
or
me Okay, I'm feeling like a little bit of anxiety right now, and thinking I don't even know why. No, like prior to doing this, just like Sunday, like we have a lot of changes in our life coming and stuff, and I'm just like feeling anxious. So then when I think about those things, I always am just like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't matter. I feel like it, like it helps. Right,
it gives you the wide perspective that sometimes like the universe
or I'm just like literally like hydrogen, carbon, nitrogen, just like doing this thing.
Yeah, to me, that gives me existential dread. It's really fascinating. I love thinking about it, but I have moments of being like, why am I doing anything I'm doing if I'm just those seven elements? What matters?
Be like, yeah, fine, I'll get Botox. You know what I mean? I'm like, because I'm like scared of Botox. And then I'm like, oh, well, who cares?
Yeah, I saw a TikTok, but it was of Cher at a concert. So that's like, it could have been on it. I should have just said, I saw a documentary.
Yeah, I saw the new Cher documentary.
And she was just saying like, you know, just do everything while you're young. She was just like, just try it. Who cares? When you're older, you're not going to regret it. Just do it. And if you do regret it, you'll be like, oops, I shouldn't have done that. But it's better to have done it.
Honestly, Cher. And Cher's epic. Cher needs a podcast. We need to get Cher on the
podcast. Oh, yeah. You think we could? Yeah, hey, Cher. Okay. I was going to say, speaking of Botox, I have no idea if Cher has Botox or not.
We can only assume.
I assume most people in Hollywood do. But let's take a little break and then talk about Botox.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been listening to Side Note, you know here at This Fine Podcast that we love to talk about therapy. We're always bringing the new insights we learn from therapy to the pod. That's why today we want to talk about BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with within under 48 freaking hours. Yeah, I stuttered. It was that quick. The counseling is done securely online and is available worldwide. Not only can you schedule weekly video or phone sessions, skipping the long commute and waiting room energy of the in-person therapy experience, but you can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, which is really important. It can be really annoying to find the right one for you. So you'll always get a great therapeutic match. And it's more affordable than traditional online counseling with financial aid available. Just head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. That also helps the show by doing that. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first frickin' month.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Botox. Mm. Snatched.
Are you feeling snatched? How do you feel? I feel like this kind of conversation about Botox has been evolving in our life as we quote unquote age.
Yeah. I don't know. For the listeners, feels like once you turn 30, people start talking and getting Botox.
Yes. I was thinking about while researching for this episode, I recently was talking to a friend and they were pointing out wrinkles on people's heads. And I was
what?
Just, well, no, recently some, I don't know. I feel like people have pointed out to me what it looks like when somebody has Botox, which I've never really noticed before. It's never occurred to me that a Botox head, for example, a Botox forehead, like just doesn't move. And that, you know, if you were watching an older person speak and their forehead's not moving, it's because they have Botox. Because it's not like plastic surgery where it's always so visibly obvious on the face. Yes. So it's kind of just the lack of movement. And so now it's one of those things, like when you learn a new word and suddenly you hear it everywhere, because I've been exposed to the idea that if you look at someone's forehead when they're talking and it's not moving and wrinkling, they probably have Botox or they have really young, healthy skin.
Wow. Okay. So we don't want to, we are going to bring, we really thought about this recently too, when we watched Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're about to say things about Kate Winslet that are, this is very Daily Mail energy, because this does not have any founding in true
this part
honesty.
Yeah, we'll have some science, but
we watched Mayor of Easttown and her forehead is moving beautifully. The most incredible actress, one of the best actresses of our generation. Mm-hmm. Actors of our generation, IMO, better than the men, so I say actor about any actor. I am not Kate Winslet head since I saw her titties in Titanic.
Greg is a Dan.
Changed my life. Anyways,
he literally said to me, you know what, Mitch, breathe. I would actually go through her IMDb and just watch everything from start to finish if you want. Earnestly. I was maybe, but I don't know if I want to watch everything.
Why not? Mayor of Easttown, objectively, pretty good show. Great show because of her. Every single project she does is going to make the show great. I've also seen most of them. As I went through, I was like, I've seen them all.
Okay. I know that you're right, but it's like a very interesting, there's so many other things we want to watch, could watch it if we start watching every Kate Winslet movie and
I
TV
love
thing.
The side note of this. Just like episode on Kate Winslet.
Okay. Back to Botox.
Her forehead is moving. Her face is moving so much. It's so important.
Because the character itself is meant to be a middle-aged woman.
Oh,
who's
she's
like
rough
from
around
a
the
small
edges.
Town, rough as like a character, older as a character, and it shows on her expressions as well.
Okay, so then we watch interviews with her after, and we go, her forehead's not moving. Mm-hmm. So okay, that I don't want to ever. I'm not dragging.
Not
I'm
to
not,
disparage.
No more
no.
speculation about Kate Winslet, best actor of all, actor of all time. We're moving on. So we were like, that's when we also started to be like, what? Oh my god, is that like Botox? And then we
Botox?
Really started to like get curious about it from there. I'm going to now explain what Botox is and how maybe actors might plan because of the way it degrades. Oh, I'm actually going to get Botox now because I'm on a bit of a 3-month hiatus from acting.
Or depending on your character, right? Like you may also want it for a movie, but she clearly was playing a person that wouldn't have had Botox.
Sorry, I'm saying like, you're right, but I'm saying regardless if you're trying to act, it might be a character thing. I was more just trying to make the point like, you can plan Botox around your acting career to pull off
face. Explain to us how it works, and then that might help us understand why you can plan it like that.
Okay, cool. So the bacteria that causes it is called Clostridium botulinum. So that sounds kind of scary, but
yeah,
it's a raw
doesn't it say Botox stand for botulism toxin?
No, yes, it does. And actually a lot of people who are really into Botox will be calling it by like the brand names of it, but Botox is what we're going to be saying today. So the bacteria that creates it is like a rod-shaped bacteria, and it produces a protein that causes neurotoxicity, but there's many types of botulism toxins. There's A, B, C1, C2, D, E, F, and G. And it's A that we'll be focusing on when we talk about wrinkles, because a lot of these other types can be very dangerous. It was first discovered in 1895 by Emil van Rijmengarten.
Very dangerous because they're literally toxins, right?
But
so it's kind of like, what is the perfect amount that maybe isn't harmful is what people were trying to figure out? Or
it's more the mode. It's the type and it's the mode of getting it. It's like a lot of it is happening in like spoiled food. So when you consume it into your gut, it actually is able to go into your bloodstream and shut down your body.
Okay.
And so
if you were to just consume,
like eat it.
Botulinum toxin.
Yeah. And again, it's all about strains. Like certain ones thrive on old eggs, or like certain ones thrive on ham. Like it was discovered from an outbreak of cured ham in 1895. So it's like a bacteria that creates this toxin that when ingested, depending on the type, can slowly paralyze your whole body. So like when you hear about botulism toxin or like just botulism, sorry, that's the disease of like people slowly dying because they've consumed the toxins that we're going to be talking about injecting into your face, which is a much different way of like consuming something into your body. So that's an important key.
And I'm just going to clarify, because I think I said it wrong first and now we're saying it wrong. Botulinum toxin causes botulism.
Okay, yeah. You know but it also is Botox.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
Sorry. Okay, like it literally is Botox. Like it is kind of crazy. And I think part of my fear around it is just that, like the science of it and knowing, even though it is quite a safe procedure in your face. So what it does, I'm going to use the face explanation, not the like killing you slowly if you eat it.
So which feels more practical.
More practical. And it is really relevant. Interesting. And it's essentially a cellular biology lesson. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when you get Botox, botulism toxin injected into your skin.
Botulinum toxin.
Botulinum. What am I saying?
Botulism.
Oh, sorry. Botulinum toxin into your face. It actually is able to be, through endocytosis, absorbed into the axon of specific neurons that use acetylcholine as their neurotransmitter. So neurotransmitters are these chemicals that they, let's use this example, they go from the axon of one neuron to the dendrite or to the other, like to the next neuron through this thing called a synapse. So this little chemical leaves the axon, goes to the next one, that signals it to fire. And it's like this constant sort of like thread of all of this firing is what makes everything in your body move. But you need acetylcholine to bind to the membrane of the axon, the vessel that holds acetylcholine to bind to the membrane of the axon to release the acetylcholine. So what botulinum toxin does is, through a series of cellular biological processes in your axon, stops that vessel that's containing acetylcholine A to bind to the axon's membrane to then get released. So essentially the axon now is not releasing the signal to continue to fire onto the next dendrite, but it just stops. It can't bind. The toxin's there in the way. It's like a very specific membrane protein that it just sort of like binds to and degrades. And all of a sudden, there's no more acetylcholine firing, and you're no longer using that neuron. The neuron is
off. It's just like not firing anymore.
Yes. So you're turning off the neurons in your face, specific parts of your face that are moved a lot when you're talking, which is actually causing the wrinkles. It's like preventative, but also causes the wrinkles to decrease because your face is literally just like not moving. So it does degrade over time. It's like a 3 to 6 month process. There's really no serious complications. There's like, there can be bruising, there can be these things that happen, but and in rare cases it can actually like maybe like, I mean, it's, I kind of was reading tons of studies and it was like not even really worth scaring people about it. Like,
yeah, I think it's probably a pretty well-established medical practice at this point. That is, obviously there might be some risks. I mean, it's probably akin to other even aesthetic surgeries that, you know, are generally pretty safe and you're changing your body. It's not like absolutely changing you in some way.
Yeah.
It's more just like you could do it and it doesn't make you better or worse.
There's
or
it's like unintended facial paralysis, trouble swallowing, things like that. But they go away too because it actually gets degraded. Like, I never knew that. I always thought it was in you forever. That's like the Kate Winslet thing of it all. It's like, I didn't know you could like get it. And then 6 months later, all of a sudden your neurons
right,
are
so
back.
You could try it to see if you like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just like, I've been very scared of Botox under the impression that that's how it works. And then doing a bunch of research, I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize, even though everyone's like, it's preventative or like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just sounds scary. And like, they teach you how botulinum toxin works in like first year cell biology,
yeah,
and it scares
neurons,
you because
yeah.
you study it and it's like a very intense biological
process you
have to memorize.
Like, oh, I understand that it's toxic and this is what it's doing. But I'll kind of bring this up in the stuff I'm going to talk about research, is that toxic things, it's often the dose is the poison, right? Yeah. So obviously as we become more precise in our science and precise in the way that we can administer something, it's like, it is a toxin, but obviously so is a lot of medicine if you take too much of it.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
So it's changing.
So is broccoli if you eat too much.
Exactly. So, I mean, toxin can be a relative term. I think it's generally reserved for things that in low doses can cause harm.
Yeah, and it's turning off muscles too. That's the other thing. I was only explaining the neurons, but those neurons are attached to muscles and cause movement. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, so that's why. And it's like, and they're thinking it could help with migraines where I'm like, hello, yeah, that's what I get.
Yes.
Excessive sweating. Hello, that's what I get. So I'm going to be getting Botox, but it might be in like a weird place.
Oh, the armpits.
Yeah, like, the armpit, like neck. On the back of my head. Yeah, yeah.
Into
and
the brain.
It stops jaw clenching, which I also do. So honey, I'm like, get the Botox in all of my body right now.
Oh my gosh. So do you think you will get Botox at some time in your life? I'm curious because I want to be in this space. I want to be non-judgmental. I don't think, obviously.
Well, okay, let's just say it. Like, a lot of our friends are getting Botox. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's like a gay. No, what it definitely
not
is.
Just gay
a white
girls
thing.
As well. And not that girls can't be gay. I just mean our girlfriends are straight
but,
as well.
Sorry, like, but I'm like, it's coming at us from all angles because we're gay, so being out with girls and gays. And there's like a lot of it going on. I'm not saying that straight guys don't, but I'm like, all I can say is from my own experience. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, is this a us thing? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of pressure on similar pressures on women and gay men about like our like bodies and aging, sadly. Mm-hmm. But I think that like, I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I definitely always thought never. But now as I'm getting older and I think more everyone of my friends never. Are doing it, I'm like, well, I don't know. Am I like the not odd one out?
Yeah, am I going to be the old looking one then?
Yeah, but no, what I was going to say is it's a very white thing because of what we've learned about with aging, which is that wrinkles are a very like Caucasian issue, and that aging for different diverse people, it could be like changing in pigmentation of the skin, which Botox does not help with. Mm-hmm. There's other things that other people are looking towards that it's like
aging is a relative.
Yeah, it's like a lot of our white friends who also were white, like our skin, like we age like shit. Sorry, hon, it's scientifically true, but you know, we look gross. We literally look grosser. And so like when we get older, especially when it comes to wrinkles. So
yeah, I think I definitely don't have a problem with anyone getting Botox. For myself, I don't know. I kind of bounce back and forth between the idea of, you know, of course I love the idea of appreciating age as a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I can't believe it's like gross. It's like cancel me and like launch me out of my chair right now. Oh, but saying old is gross. That's so not true.
Yeah, no, there is like, there's beauty and wisdom in an aged face. But also, then I don't know. There's also the pressure of, you know, being young and knowing that people treat you differently as you age. And you have to go, I think you have to go through this middle period. That's hard. I think as you get older and older, you just are like, this is part of my life now and you can accept it. But it's that first transition of being like, my face is literally starting to change.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It'd be like suddenly shaving your head. It would just feel shocking to start seeing that change.
But no, okay.
But
no.
Eventually you'd be like, now I just have a shaved head.
Yeah, exactly. I did that when I shaved my head. Like, cause I'm losing my hair. When I shaved my head, I was just like, whoa. It's just like, it feels like I'm like, this looks, I was like, I actually look so bad. I look insane. And then about 10 minutes later, I was like, wait, you look hot. You know what I mean? Like, it's like everything kind of like adapts.
Yeah, exactly. But,
okay.
Except wrinkles.
Except wrinkles. No,
okay, it would over time.
This is what I want to say. I think, like, as someone who's starting to lose my hair, I start to go through that. And then all of a sudden, I'm noticing people's hair. Right. So there's something about the knowledge of Botox and like even the way you're like, my friend started pointing out wrinkles. It's like, it's this weird like chicken or the egg thing that makes me like honestly like a little bit like sad or like wishing that like it wasn't something all of my friends were doing because I actually don't know if I ever would have like
without the thought about local it. Pressure around, not yeah. pressure but so, just local
like, and this cosmetic use of Botox is very recent. It's like 1994, right? So our parents like grew up in a generation where that wasn't even an option. That it kind of
I didn't know you, it was that young.
Yeah, it's recent. Like, I mean, not that obviously the bacteria is like, girl, we've been around longer than you.
I didn't know the like, bacteria
the use for us being like, wait, let's inject in our face, we don't get wrinkles. And you're like, this is a cultural thing that is actually shifting everything. That I actually think I'm like becoming a little Bo Burnham energy now where I'm like, the internet sucks. I'm like, it is sad because it's like without the actual knowledge and technology, people aren't noticing the wrinkles in the same way. They're not noticing the way you can fix them. Then all of a sudden when someone has that wrinkle, like there's this weird knowledge that like sometimes now, like my friends who've got Botox have told me where and why. And then I just like see someone's forehead and I'm like, oh, that's the wrinkles that those people are trying to avoid. But I never would have thought that before. And I'm looking at this face and I'm like, gorgeous face. Like, you know, what an attractive person. But then all of a sudden now I'm focusing on these two lines that I didn't know existed 3 months ago. And I'm like, they have them. And it's like, wait, without that knowledge, I would have just been like, this is a gorgeous face.
You know, not to get religious, but I did grow up and went to Catholic school. Right. So if you don't know, the like inceptional creation story of Adam and Eve is that when they like betray God and go to the devil, he makes them self-aware that they're naked and then they go cover themselves. It's like this idea of people being shamed of their own bodies is weirdly like baked. I mean, I'm not obviously a religious scholar. I don't know.
I love that you have religious perspective because I just don't.
I more mean like there may be other people who be like, you're telling that story wrong. But I'm just for the first time being like,
they covered because they were sluts.
Well, because often I think of religion representing, and religions all over the world kind of representing these tried and tested ideas sometimes. Obviously, like, there's a lot of problematic stuff with institutionalized religion.
Yeah, like, maybe the Bible religion is, like, a kind of a good book.
Or, you know, it's interesting that it's addressing, like, this self-awareness that we have as humans causing us shame. Yeah. And so it's like you said, once you realize you're naked, once you realize you have wrinkles, now you're ashamed of it. Or now you're, think about it, it's in your view in the same way that a new word you get taught and suddenly you're actually like, why is everyone saying this word?
Yeah, literally there's like this wrinkle. I guess it's like right here in between my eyebrows. Never, ever noticed, thought, cared. I look in the mirror, I'm like, girl, looking snatch. All of a sudden, all my friends are like talking about how they're getting Botox for that literal wrinkle. And now I'm just like,
do I have it?
No. Wait, no, so, okay, I guess.
And when do I do, like,
no, what? No, like, frown, like, go, Yeah, so yours are different. Like, when I frown, I get a line here. You get, like, you have other lines. Or, and I don't even want to say that. They're called, like, 11s or something. But it's just, like, a very simple Botox fix that everyone gets. But I'm, like, it's not like it's changing their attractiveness. It's literally just getting rid of these, like, two lines in their early 30s. And I weirdly think that it's making them feel good. And then other people go, oh, you don't have those lines. But I don't know. But like now I'm like, damn it. I wish I just didn't even know about this line because I would have never even looked at that part of my face. But okay. So would you get Botox?
Like not right now. No, I won't say never because I don't know how I'll feel as I age. You know, it's just not something that I've fully had to face yet. And I do have, you know, half, you know, South Asian genes. So maybe I won't have to worry about it for a while. No, but someone did comment on one of our TikToks recently. It was like, oh my God, I just realized you had wrinkles and it freaked me out. And then I realized I've been watching you for a decade. And
wait, someone said you.
Yes.
And oh my God. And I was like,
okay, I don't know if this is you trying to not be mean, but it shook me to the core.
Never read the comments. Shit. If you have wrinkle comments, you know how many wrinkle comments are I have?
But I was like, okay, wow, that's fair. Like someone has, we've been doing this for 10 years. Of course I look older now.
Wow. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Like, also, there's nothing to be ashamed about that. That's why I had the moment at first where I was like, oh my God, that moment of fear of being like, okay, I'm losing something. But then I was like, okay, but that is inevitable.
Yeah, it's like I'm
smart
now.
And I think if
now.
You can...
I'm older.
Like, it's just
now.
Balancing that. And I do think Botox... I mean, it's one thing when you're in an industry that maybe does put a lot of pressure, especially on women, to like, it's way easier because of the patriarchy that men in actors don't have the same standard. They can be wrinkly and look old and still get lots of roles, whereas it's like way harder for a middle-aged or elderly woman to get roles.
Like, you're talking
in
about Hollywood.
I'm sure that like actually extends out to
the
music industry and the art industry, and like I'm sure there still is a bias towards youth.
Yes.
And so
but I'm just like, now it's changing. It's like ever with Mare of Easttown, it's like, sorry, but like,
but that's just one women thing. Are it's not changing.
No, I'm saying I think we are in an interesting time where I'm maybe just because I'm gay, but I'm like, women are killing the acting game. Like, I'm just like this, like, classic, you know, like the Hollywood leading man. I'm like, who the hell is that these days? That's it's like, it feels to me at least like the people really turning out the fucking performances are the women, but I might be ignorant. But it's like, who's
it
famous?
Might just
it's like,
be what
it's like
you're
Chris
looking.
Hemsworth. It's like, okay, well, he just like plays Thor. It's not that.
And he probably has Botox. I mean, I can't say that, but I'm
oh,
sure
yeah,
lots
he has
of
Botox. In it.
Lots of men in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry definitely have Botox.
Oh, it's so normalized in LA for sure. Like sometimes people are like, I don't like when people shame Botox. And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, is that even happening?
Right.
Like, it feels like
if everyone in Hollywood is having it, it's not really, like, no one's losing anything for it. Of course, there are some people that will always cling to this idea of purity. You can't change your body. Otherwise, you're, you know what I mean?
But then it's like, that's also kind of annoying. It's so interesting.
Exactly, yeah,
we're so seeped in this culture and as West people live in like Western cultures, we're so seeped with Botox that I'm like, I'm also now being like, well, if you think that getting Botox is bad and you want to be pure, I'm like, that also sounds creepy.
Yeah, like, because it's like it's selective. It's like, well, then you're using fluoride on your teeth. Should you stop doing that? Like, there are lots of things.
Your Crest white strip into the teeth.
There's lots of things humans do that we just now deem as normal and commonplace and acceptable that 1,000 years ago, they would be like, you're modifying your body.
No, what it is for me is going back to the literal botulinum toxin and what I just explained physiologically as I think what's stopping me from getting it.
But fluoride is a toxic chemical.
Yeah, I'm talking but just like the neurophysiology body, yeah. and the way that we learned about it in university. Like, it just scared me. Like, I'm just like, it seems scary. But the more and more people that do it, the more I'm like, that seems more
well,
safe.
Okay. I will talk about, so I really want to talk about, not specifically Botox, but aging, and just talk about some of the science behind aging that obviously leads up to this point of people wanting to get something like Botox. Okay. So I recently read the book called Lifespan by David Sinclair. It was amazing. Also, I know a lot of people out there were like, can you guys start a Goodreads book list? And so we can like see which books you're reading and what you think of them.
Oh, that's smart.
I use Goodreads just to see reviews all the time, but I've never done that. But I feel like we are reading so many books and we mentioned them all the time that it would be cool. It's a really, really interesting book just about what the kind of current, very current science is on aging, what they see, where it's going in terms of like increasing lifespan and increasing health. I'm going to just share some of my favorite parts of the book. Let me know if I'm rambling too much, but hopefully it will be interesting. Okay, Greg?
Yeah, no.
I found it all really interesting. First thing that David Sinclair's main focus of his research is something that they discovered called sirtuins. And these are longevity genes that they found in the body. They found them in yeast, and then they found the comparables in humans.
They found them in the C. botulism bacteria. I'm kidding.
So basically, they're epigenetic regulators, which means that based on your environment, triggers how often and how they respond in your body.
Yeah.
And as a result, when they're triggered, they help fight against heart disease, inflammation, cell death, all these things. Like basically they're regulating your DNA, they're repairing it.
Sorry. 1 second. I'm going to like try and help clarify. Okay. So epigenetics is like I feel like I got confused between what you're talking about. So epigenetics is a way that your genes are controlled by different cellular biology in your body. And therefore, epigenetics is an umbrella term for where you can like, essentially like turn on and off genes.
Yeah.
So then what are the words that you're talking about?
So sirtuins
are
these longevity genes that based on your environment.
Epigenetically are getting turned on or off.
Well, technically they turn on and off genes, I think. I maybe don't quite understand if it's... Yeah, I think they technically like... do something to the histones and unwrap the genes allow those genes to express. So we all have genes, but they're not all on.
Yeah. Lots of ones we ain't worried using.
Your environment, if you do something chronically, like it could change your epigenetics.
Oh my God, what do we do?
Basically, the sad part is, or not sad part, but what they've realized is these sirtuins decrease in activity as we age. But the cool idea is that... manageable stress is actually what triggers these longevity genes. So the sirtuins are kind of his main focus, but there are a couple other kinds.
Manageable stress. Manageable stress triggers them as in like, I want to use like the simplest language possible, quote unquote, turns them on.
Yes. Okay. So obviously stress for your body can be deemed as either good or bad. And it kind of goes to us talking about Botox, where it's like sometimes something isn't good or bad. It's the amount that you take. So broccoli is generally good because you can have a lot of it and it's really healthy. But if you have way too much, it can be toxic.
Oh my God, to be the person who poisoned themselves with broccoli, that's iconic.
I know, like, did that ever happen or was it just a mess?
No, it didn't happen, but it's a way that they teach toxicology. They're like, even something that you're being told your whole life to eat could kill you.
So this premise is called hormesis. And that it just means it's like there's three stages. If you don't have enough, it could be harmful. There's like the Goldilocks zone of these things that are stressful for your body but can trigger healthy responses. Okay. But you have too much, it's bad. Yeah. So things like, in this case, exercise, intermittent fasting.
Oh, wait. Slow down. Exercise. It's saying you want to do it, but not too much.
Exercise stresses your body out. Okay. It releases cortisol. It releases a flux of hormones and it's putting pressure on your bones and muscles. It's actually a stress response, but it's good for you.
Yeah,
so they're like, it's a form of hormesis. Like, not enough exercise is not good for you. Having the right amount in the middle is really healthy. And then if you overdo exercise, it's going to push your body.
So exercise is an easy one for all of us. It's like, okay, exercise. Great. Got it.
Yes. And so exercise is an example of something that stimulates sirtuins.
Okay, cool.
Or other longevity genes.
Yeah.
Intermittent fasting. So they've realized calorie restriction is like generally very healthy. Obviously, if you
why the Mitchell Moffitt over here goes like,
I calorie
what did you say yesterday? It was so funny. You're like, I actually had two meals today. So,
oh my God.
I'm like, okay, we get it. You didn't eat breakfast on purpose.
On the weekends, I decided to intermittent fast because that's what this book recommended.
Wow. Okay. So it's like, don't starve.
Yes. But obviously, starving is unhealthy. But there's a balance of when you're in a deficit, your body is like engages these survival circuits and it boosts cellular defenses, keeps organisms alive during times of adversity. It wards off disease. So that's like what's happening. Oh my God.
The intermittent fasting heads out there just got a bone.
So ultimately this main section of the book was there's so many fascinating things that when we put our body through them, it can actually stimulate healthy longevity, make your life healthier and make you live longer.
What are they called again?
Sirtuins?
Are they causing wrinkles?
Well, I can't say specifically. It's aging in general, yeah, right? Okay. So this is not specifically related to wrinkles or skin, but obviously if your body is biologically younger, it probably means that it's healthier. Skin will probably last longer in terms of, you know, getting wrinkles.
No, this is cool. It's like deeper. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I was just thinking of, you know, a lot of people wonder about how to do preventative stuff, but that is like cosmetic or medical, but there's lots of preventative stuff you can do in your regular life if you care about aging physically as well as aging like genetically. So there's a perfect example. Identical twins, if one smokes and the other doesn't, the smoker will age physically faster.
Yeah, smoking.
Their skin will change. The health of their organs will change. So that's a perfect example of epigenetics. Basically the same genome, same DNA, but one twin smokes their whole life, they're actually going to have a completely different body.
Oh gosh. Fair? I'm just always like, oh, smoking's so bad. And I'm like, damn, I smoked weed for so long. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I know that it's not the same, but it is in many ways.
It is. But I mean, you were hopefully young enough and you stopped. So, I mean, it's never too late to smoke. It's never too late to stop smoking.
You're in here, folks, on ASAP Science. It is never too late to start smoking.
We have a video about quitting smoking. It truly is never too late to stop.
Yeah, your lungs can do amazing regenerative things.
Yes, so don't think of it like, oh, I've had my whole youth, whatever.
True.
There's not too much I'll share other than when in a lot of their studies, they would stimulate sirtuin activity in mice, not only made them younger physically, they would exercise more. They started outperforming mice that were like a quarter of their age. They would
These mice everywhere with the most whack ass lives. It's wild that like that freaking mouse is just all of a sudden like, oh, whoa, I'm younger than an actual mouse that's younger than me. Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
he has like a really crazy breakthrough moment when they're studying and someone calls him and they're like, these aren't old mice. Like you've given us the wrong thing. And they realize it's because and they said they had to rebuild their mouse treadmill or whatever because they broke it because they were using it so much.
Okay, they need to make a Pixar movie about lab mice and they're all like superheroes and stuff.
Oh my God, Greg, that's a really good idea. As in like
they're breaking out of their cages.
And each one has like some genetic test like, on them and that then it's gives like, them and special powers.
And it's the nuance, like the genetic power, it like helps them, but also is their vice.
Write the children's book about that and then get Pixar to make it.
Okay, I know I'm speaking this into a mic, so honestly, I'm kind of lazy. Someone else could do that if they want, I'll get to it.
That's mostly it. The last fact, and I've told you about this, is another example. It's just extreme cold or heat seem to do the same thing. They push your body out of comfort zone. That's why they sort of trigger hormones that stimulate longer life because your body.
So when I was jumping in freezing water in the winter because I was like so bored in a pandemic,
potentially good. Yeah, there's more and more science. I think there's pretty hard science in the cold.
Did Wim Hof write this?
He didn't write this, but he's part of that movement of people being like, there is research to support that putting your body in extreme cold temperatures, not all the time, but letting your body come out of its comfort zone stimulates these things that start protecting your body.
Wow. I've been going to the beach and the water's so cold and like barely anyone's swimming. I've been full swimming, getting out blue lips.
You're like, literally, I'm gonna live forever.
Yeah. And I'm just like always like, I'm like literally shivering while everyone's like boiling on the beach. And I'm like, this can't be good. But now I'm going to be so annoying long with my blue lips and be like, actually, you know, I'm just turning on epigenetically the genes that are going to make me live longer.
It's probably true. And so as I said, it's not specifically related to Botox and skin, but honestly, using that smoking example, like the things your body is exposed to over life will impact. I mean, of course, we're all blessed with different genes. We can't change everything. Some people will just naturally age faster, regardless of putting all this work. And so for me,
really,
I just think the biggest life goal for me is to find peace with those things.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
and
you can't change
something
them.
Like, I don't know. I'm just like, maybe it's hot back summer. Like, I'm feeling very sexual this summer. Just like, ooh. And like, I'm like.
With vaccines?
No, hot back summer.
Okay,
it's
okay,
like, well, it means like we're all getting vaccines and everyone's like we're all gonna have like a giant like orgy, like, because it's just like everyone's been like like
pent up.
Yeah. Oh my god. Wow. Mitch, I guess Mitch isn't feeling the hot back summer vibes. But I'm like feeling very like free and like sexually liberated and looking at people in like a very sexual way, and I'm like, it's so interesting to me because I feel like sexual energy is so not related to
like physical appearance.
Like, I, totally. And I'm not, I like, and I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, and I don't know if it's just me and something I like, but I'm like, I actually think that we all kind of know that, but like there's just like this confidence about someone, like, and it's just so interesting. I'm just curious. I would love to just have like a like group session of 20 people and like talk deeply about like when you first see someone versus like 5 minutes later and you are like, am I turned on by them? Like, I just find, to me, Botox and these things, it's like about this initial thing.
Right. And from afar, you might be like, wow, that person's beautiful or looks young.
Or young. Like,
yeah. Because obviously there's the other end of the spectrum where you're like, they look weird.
Because also they're like being young, like, so even at the beach recently, I was like hanging out with this like stranger because we were like making like a fire, and like they were obviously like very attractive, but they were 21 and I'm 31, and it was just like, oh, like I'm like so not attracted to you because
your mental state is like at a different
like
stage.
I felt bad, like I was actually having this open conversation with people. I was like, I feel bad because it's like this person was objectively so attractive. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's actually so interesting because I'm so sorry. It has nothing to do with the way you look. Mm-hmm. It's just like, there is just an energy of someone that young that's very beautiful, but it's not attractive to me because it's like, right. You're on such a different like level.
Yeah, that's
of, like,
fair. And like, level, maybe I would say, is the not the word? Right term, because that like kind of makes it feel like there's hierarchies. It's just like a different plane. I feel like plane is this way. Yeah. So it's like different people occupy different spaces, and an old person and a young person could occupy that same space. But generally, different decades kind of have different life experience, and so are looking for different things.
So maybe? Yeah, like it's weird, but because then you're doing the Botox or you're doing these things to appear younger, while I think simultaneously age is like what brings a level of like confidence and knowingness that is like the hottest. And so I was talking recently to my therapist, and I was talking about how I was like, I feel kind of confident right now. I feel like maybe a year and a half of just like forced self-reflection and like just feeling really like very confident. And she was like, that's age. Mm-hmm. Like she was like that. She's like, with it, like when I know I keep going back to the beach, but it's like an interesting setting after being locked away where I'm like in the elements. I was like building a fire and feeling very, and it was like just very like, I don't know, like it was like I felt confident. I was like, I don't think I ever would have made a fire on my own on the beach before because I would have been like so scared of what everyone thought. And then with that is like, that is like, can be like an attractive force. Mm-hmm. Bigger than your face and your appearance that almost age brings, and then age makes you hotter. Like even watching Mare of Easttown, watching her and that like writer, I was like, they're so sexy. They're so like, she knows herself so well. She's been through so much. There's so much like sex appeal to that. And I'm just like, it's so interesting. Yeah, I think aging is actually hot.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's important to acknowledge that it is both, right? Either way, but I think you can have a more long-term relationship with someone for who they are, and that the surface stuff is the kind of short-term. Like the attraction.
It's literally the surface of your skin is the surface of the
relationship, right? And yeah. I think everyone deep down knows that. People that are not necessarily quintessentially traditionally attractive, but are so attractive because of their personalities, because of their humor or their intellect or their talent that's beyond what they physically look like. But I think most people would admit that they are physically attracted to certain types of people or certain types of bodies, or and that can be different. I think people become conditioned. So definitely we know culturally society has shifted from jacked bodies to curvy bodies to short people to tall people, like all those different things change as culture changes. So I think like now we could tell ourselves, oh, evolutionary, it makes sense that you want a fit looking body, but that might not, like what our bodies represent right now is not actually necessarily fit.
Yeah.
Right? Like what a freaking Homo erectus was looking like when they were fit would be very different necessarily yeah. than what we like do in the gym
yeah.
now.
Like, yeah. Like when you see like lunk alerts, if you go to Planet Fitness, it's like lunk alert alarm goes off if you've got your big jug. And you got
yeah.
Your...
And being that jacked look... is not like yeah. what a primitive human would
no,
have looked
like. No, and it
like
does.
Ever.
Like when you get too jacked, I'm like, that's actually so like, I'm like, that looks crazy. Like, I'm
but
like, to, I'm not attracted
it is
to
cultural.
That.
It's preference. Yeah. You fall into like, as you get close, it's like the Botox thing. It's like you start to see it and then you go, yes. oh, it's kind of weird. But slowly you go, oh, maybe that is attractive now that
yes.
I know it.
There's something about that. It's like it's like about groups. It's like as humans, our brains were always primed to try and like group information and group things. And there's something like if you're really, really jacked, you're probably attracted to other people who are really, really jacked. And then they're like, it's like you're creating yourself into this like in group. So I'm like there at the gym being like, I want to be healthy. But I'm like, that actually doesn't turn me on. But maybe if I got so jacked, I'd start to like appreciate that and like right. understand yeah. like
how
what that
the hard
is.
Work that goes into that
exactly.
the dedication that can be also attractive.
And right? that's the Botox thing for me. I'm like, oh, actually, like my whole life I've been like, I don't have any interest in that, but as like more and more friends are like, this is what it is. And then maybe like more and more attractive friends are doing it. I might start to like, you know, understand these 11s on my head and be like, oh, and like recontextualize.
Yeah.
And like, it's not attractive.
And you could tell yourself, you know what? It's just, I'm taking care of my body in a different way.
Yeah.
Like it's not damaging. I like how people do skincare. They moisturize, they put all these different creams because they want to be quote unquote healthy. It just becomes a way of caring about yourself or thinking about yourself. Of course, that can flip the switch to be on the side of like, is this too much?
Yeah.
I don't know where that line is. I don't know. It's obviously different for everyone. But I think even using fitness as an example, like there's always a stage where maybe it goes too far. And we could all agree that like the most strong athletes in the world, it's amazing. It's incredible. See people at these Olympics. It doesn't necessarily mean they're the healthiest, right? Like to push your body that far is interesting.
Yeah, like gymnasts. They're like, oh, yeah, they're all like, they're like, yeah, we're short because our like bones were like obliterated and we like weren't able to grow.
And,
like,
and
eh,
that's
cool.
You're like, that is respectable because you cared so much about your craft. That's a different kind of thing I can appreciate. Doesn't mean I don't know where I'm going with that, but it is interesting to just think about how we contextualize. And probably in 100 years, we'll look back and be like, wow, everyone looked so rough.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
Well, because I saw like footage of like, it was like England on the street.
Oh my
from
God.
100
they're
years
like
ago.
Eating churned butter.
Yeah. And you're like, they just look so rough. And now people on like on average today, I think just look better.
Yeah. In the future, they're gonna be like, they were suntanning in the sun that like they looked rough. Cause now everyone's hiding. Cause like a little bit in the sun burns your skin. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's weird things like the concept of tanning is something that I think is going to get so like for white people. I mean, it's like, I think it's going to slowly become like,
cause it ages your skin faster.
Yeah. And also I'm just like, it's not even going to be like, you're not even gonna be able to go in the summer, like burning like immediately.
Oh yeah, the climate change is just gonna make it way too hot.
But I do think like, I think we can wrap up soon, but I think it's very cultural. And I think like Kim K and all them have done some really like intense things for the culture. And I think it's important. I mean, I know that's more plastic surgery, but there really is like, when you think of how recently a recent Botox is, and then that rise of them as like media moguls and influencer culture, and this like literal Photoshop of Instagram on top of like even
filters.
Instagram face, which like Gia Tolentino has a really great New Yorker piece about how plastic surgery and Instagram are working together essentially to create this like placid one size fits all face. And it's just like, when you start to look at it in those contexts, you do realize like this could age, no pun intended, age very poorly for a lot of people. Like to look the same
as we leave,
inevitably culture is going to shift. And like, depending on how far you push these things, I'm not going to say like
it either becomes wholly
anything.
Mainstream or we move on past it. And then people are like, oh, that was the phase of
but,
like the early 2000s. And
but we can't ignore the internet and the pressures of Instagram and the pressures of all of these like literal Photoshop and ability to go into like a plastic surgeon's office and them to probably just use technology. Like, this is what you would look like. Like we're living through that era culturally. I don't personally think it's that interesting, but many people do. And like, it could be a very defining feature of our time, whether it stays or goes. Like there's a lot of issues in our world coming up that it might become the time of when we were like, you know, had embarrassment of riches. I mean, now we're about to deal with climate change and people are gonna be like, we don't have time to care about those things. Who knows? Or it's like, you look like an elite person and we don't like that anymore because they ruin the planet. Like, there's right. other things that could come in, but we can't ignore like the care. I always say the name Kardashians. Like, and when I look at them, like, I saw a recent video of Kylie Jenner. Okay. And it was just like, wow, like, you're so, it's like they don't hide behind it. They mm-hmm. they're like, this is a form of like feminism for them. They flaunt mm-hmm. it. And she looks so like, I don't know how to say this without sounding rude, but it's like, without the perfect photo on Instagram and like the snatched makeup and the like angle, it's just like a little bit like, that's looks weird to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not actually that attracted to it, although I'm very attracted to Kylie Jenner's Instagram. Like, when I see it, I'm like, holy fuck. Right. And then there's also the other thing you have to remember is, like, as white people, a lot of the things and the trends that we're living through right now is stealing the body types of other people.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so fucked up. And like, that to me doesn't lead to being attractive. It's like a very weird cultural appropriation.
Yeah, there'll be hopefully more and more surgeries. Conversations about that. Yeah, I think.
And it's like so sad to me that Kylie Jenner's lip kit for like, her fake big lips became so popular
right.
amongst probably such a like white audience mm-hmm. when really like in the past, like I bet that was like made fun of on yeah. other people. Like there's a lot of darkness to something that like, I know we were going to spend this whole time being like, oh, I guess I'll get Botox. But
it's really all linked to capitalism, as we've just stated with selling stuff. And it is just like, there's yeah. so many other industries where the same things happened. Even things like fashion, where you're like, well, it's not wrong for people to care about looking a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like that's self-autonomy to be able to decide how you want to express yourself. But then it's weirdly tied into all these awful things, like yeah. not only industries that destroy the planet, but also industries that warp how people see each other and what yeah. speaks for status and what's nice clothing and what's poor clothing yeah. and what's right. So it's like yeah. so weirdly intertwined, like yeah. fashion and our bodies. God,
now I'm like, I don't want Botox, but Botox is so like, I don't know, but it's so interesting. Like, I don't
think I will ever get it, but it's kind of, and I don't think this is a good thing, but I have this sort of purist mindset, partially because I'm anxious and I'm afraid to get things done.
Oh yeah, because you will never get a tattoo.
Yeah, because I've always been like, oh, it's my body, and I just like want it to be. I know ultimately as I age, I'm like, this is just a weird belief I've carried since I was young. Yeah. But when I was young, I was like, I just want my body to be the way it is. Obviously a tattoo doesn't change that, but in my yeah. mind it kind of does, and so does plastic surgery. But as I age, I honestly am like, for the first time ever, being like, wait, I have to actually decide, because mm-hmm. now I'm having those moments where I go, oh my god,
and the conversations are coming up, like
yeah,
if you're in your 30s, I don't know if it's just like the groups that we're in, but like this just like, you know, mm-hmm. like in every hangout, there's something yeah. comes up, and it's like,
well, because we're literally like visibly yeah,
I
think aging.
It's a 30s thing, and it's like, it's they're interesting conversations. That's what I mean. I'm glad, like, I actually love talking about it. It's so,
I realize 30s is like still so young, but it's so crazy that we've just been like doing this for 10 years and that we were like in our 20s once.
I know, but I'm so life happy is so weird. To not be in my no offense, everyone in their 20s, it's hard. It's a hard time. Like,
To be honest, though, I have found my late 20s into early 30s, I think, has been the hardest time of my life. But hopefully I'm going to get through
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think so.
More on that, or should we end the con? And
we can talk about that another time. No, okay. I don't know. And it may not be to do with age. It may be to do with life circumstance.
Hmm.
But okay. I have sort of felt like, I think hopefully into my mid and late 30s. And I have read studies that say people gain more optimism every decade of their life until I think like the 60s it starts declining a bit.
Okay, and so sad.
No, but that
until you get really close to when you're gonna go.
But so I just mean hopefully that will kick in for me soon.
Oh wow. Oh my god, I'm like, I'm gonna, no, we need to end, because I'm like, that is leading to so many questions.
Okay. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Maybe we can start a Goodreads book list soon. That's something.
Oh, Goodreads. I thought I said Goodreads. I'm like, I'll be on that one. Goodreads,
Goodreads strain. That should. I wonder if that's a website. Okay, we have a lot of great ideas on this pod for people to start up their own little companies.
Yeah, credit us if you want. And we'll let you know if we get Botox.
Yeah, or you might notice if you're watching. If you're listening, you'll just never know.
Yeah, true.
But we'll talk sexier for you. Okay, see you guys next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.